Amen. Well, you're loved tonight, not just by God, but by your pastor. Hopefully that means something to you. And I'm not just saying that because of the last couple weeks. You know, maybe you walk out here questioning, does this guy even like us anymore? I do. I love you. Praise God. That's why we tell you the truth, right? Amen. We want you blessed. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Revelation 22 and verse 13. Praise God. I'm so proud of people who come out midweeks and faithful to hear the word. You know, you're only doing yourself a favor by hearing the word. You know, there's no doubt that people are busy. You know, I think life is so busy, you know, for lots of people and just the way things are, you know. But they were busy back in the Bible there, and Martha and Mary had an opportunity to hear the word, and Martha was too busy to hear the word, and Mary, in the midst of the busyness, made time to hear the word. And Martha complained about that, and Jesus kind of put her in her place, you know. It kind of gives us heaven's perspective on the importance of it. And he said, Martha, Martha, you know, he said, you're troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part, or that which is needful, which was what? Hearing the word, right? So you're doing yourself a favor, and it might not be the most convenient thing to come out on a Wednesday and to get ready for church and to come out and you have to work or work when you get home, but who cares about convenience? I want blessing. Amen. You know, you look in the word, blessing wasn't always convenient.
That's right.
Wasn't convenient for the woman with the issue of blood to go out in public and be shamed and to have bump into people and go through the crowd as she was weak to press through to get to Jesus. That wasn't convenient. It wasn't convenient for blind Bartimaeus to scream out and to cry out when the disciples and everybody around him were telling him to be quiet. That wasn't convenient, right? It wasn't convenient to take the promised land, to go in to get and to take down the city of Jericho first. That wasn't convenient. Praise God. Well, the cross wasn't convenient either, but the cross was victory, and it was better that he did do the cross, right? So it's not about convenience, it's about getting to the blessing, and sometimes getting to the blessing, you have to go through inconvenience, but it's worth it. Amen. Revelation 22. Father, we love you. Help us. Speak through me tonight, Father. I'm just the messenger. Father, I'm just the mailman. And so, Father, you're the one that gets the glory. The spotlight's on you, Father, not me. I'm just a branch. You're the vine. Lord, the branch apart from the vine is nothing. And so, Lord, we get our strength and our hope through you, Father. So I don't count myself as to be anything special, but you're special. So, Lord, we look to you. Help us tonight. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And so, Father, I thank you so much that we'll speak as the oracles of God tonight, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but there will be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Holy Ghost, take us on rabbit trails. Do whatever you need to do. Say what needs to be said. Do what needs to be done. And, Father, we'll walk out of here praising you and giving you the glory. Father, you are the one we look to. You are the one who's the life giver. You are the one that harnesses the power. You are the blesser. You are the provider. You are the healer. You are the miracle worker. So we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It's because of him, isn't it? Where would we be without him? But Revelation 22, verse 13, this is the word of God, obviously, and he says this, I am Alpha and Omega. That means the finality. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Amen. I love that verse. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Well, God says he is these things. Now, it's important that where we're going tonight, as I was in Olean last night, and I preached along these same lines, and most of that whole service was just following the Spirit, and some things came out that were more clear to me that while I was preaching, which was really neat. But to get what we fully need to understand and say tonight, we have to understand that God says, I am the first and the last. He says, I am that. That means that he's already been to our future. He's already been to the end, right? Because he is the end. He's the beginning and the end. So if he is, he's already been there. He's already seen it. He already knows what's there. He already knows what's to come, what's in store. Praise God. He knows it all, right? He knows our future better than we know our future, and he's been to our future. He sees the potential that's in our future. He sees what's available to us in our future. He's already been there. He's there right now because he's everywhere all the time, right? He's omnipresent. What does that mean? Everywhere, all the time. Well, that doesn't just mean in the present. He's everywhere all the time. He's been in the past. He's in the future. He's in the present. He's always there, right? He's been to the future and back because he is the end. So God can transcend time like we can't, right? We live in the present and things like that, but he can transcend time. Well, with that being said, now go to Genesis 17 and verse 1. So he said, I am the beginning. I am the end. If he is the end, he's been to the end. He knows the end. Genesis 17. We know this by other verses where he says, behold, I know the plans that I have for you. Well, why does he know them? Because he's been there. Because he's the beginning and the end. He's been there. Genesis 17 and verse 1 says this. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Now, when he said that, that's future tense. You shall be. It shall come to pass. That means it hasn't come to pass, but it will come to pass. But then he says in verse 5, he changes things up. He says, neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. Now, that's significant because in the Hebrew, that name change, he got his name changed to Abraham, which means father of many nations. But look at God's wording here. He says, but your name shall be Abraham. Right now, he changed it. For a father of many nations have, not I will, have I made you. He said, when I changed your name Abraham to Abraham from Abram, a father of many nations right now in the present, I have made you that. Praise God. Well, go with me now to Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. And to understand this principle, it's important to understand the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Romans 4. So he says, Abraham right now, as a 99-year-old man, when there is, and the son he's talking about here, is he's talking about Isaac. If you study the story of Abraham, you'll see that God came to him with that promise of a son when he was about 75 years old. Well, it took 25 years for that promise to manifest. You know, this just popped up into my spirit. I didn't say this last night, but a lot of times God will show us things concerning our future to get our faith on it, to get our belief hooked up in our agreement with him. But we see with Abraham it took 25 years. Now, whether or not God had intended for that to take that long, one thing we do see is that Abraham was not in full faith the whole time. We know that because he laughed at God. But the one thing that they did, because if you read it, you might think, well, he did have a son. It was Ishmael. Well, he did have a son, but that's not the son that God promised, because the son that God promised was supposed to come with his wife, Sarah. Well, they got into doubt and unbelief, and they tried to make things happen on their own. And I'll tell you, that's when people get into trouble. Amen. The only reason, well, see, what happened was they had, had an inappropriate, encounter with Hagar there. They had Ishmael, was one of Sarah's servants there. And because she didn't believe God that she could have a child, she got someone that was more fertile and not, her womb wasn't dead. And they had a baby that way. Well, that wasn't God's plan. Fear and doubt and unbelief caused them to do things that were not God's plan and God's way. I've been there before. Have you been there before? That's why we really need to meditate on James 1, where it says, let patience have her perfect work. Patience is not a bad thing.
That's right.
Now, for me, I can see I need work on patience. I'll go to McDonald's, pray for me. Because I do go to McDonald's. Make sure you pray for me. And because I know you'd never eat that stuff, but your carnal pastor does. So make sure you pray for me. And you know, if they take 5 minutes to make your meal, you're like sitting there banging on the steering wheel. At least I am. What in the heck's going on? Like, where's my food, right? 5 minutes, you know. So patience isn't something that we're too fond of. But they did have a son, Ishmael. But you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Well, Ishmael added a whole lot of sorrow. And so that's just a side note that you want to do things God's way, God's timing, right? God's plans, not your flesh, not your mind, not circumstances, not opinions of family members and friends, not what the news is saying, not what they're saying, what the financial analysts are saying. What's God saying?
Yeah, that's so good.
What's God saying? You know, I was talking to somebody today on my way here on the phone. And about a decision that they were talking about, you know, making. And I didn't even think to ask this because I thought this was already established in the conversation. When the conversation started, I thought this was already established. Well, I found out as I was in the conversation, it wasn't. It was a big decision that was on the horizon and looming. And, you know, I was trying to help them navigate through that. But then all of a sudden in my spirit came up, ask them if this is even God's plan. And so I did. I said, do you even know if this is what God wants you to do? I said, because if this isn't God, there'd be no grace on it. Yeah. And the working of whatever, you know, I don't want to get into too much detail here, but the working of whatever would have to happen for this situation to happen, you need God's grace on this. Well, if you get God's green light on it, God's grace will be with it too. When there's God's grace, the power, the money, the protection, the favor, the wisdom flow with those things. And so halfway through, I said, did you even? And they said, that's what I needed to hear, Pastor. That bingo, that's what I needed to hear. I said, because I had gone through all these other things and, you know, just trying to help them, and then it came up. So we better make sure it's God. Because they went outside of God's plan and it cost them. And so we got to make sure it's God doing things God's way, God's timing, not getting impatient, not getting carnal, not getting nervous and fearful, but doing it God's way. But Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, now notice this, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, the example that he's telling us is through Abraham. He looked at Abraham, a 99-year-old man, who it was absolutely impossible by medical standards or by the world standards and having babies back then and babies now, and called him a dad. He looked at Abraham and said, you're a dad right now. Now, to understand this, to get on God's wavelength, because for this to come to pass, for anything to come to pass, God needs our cooperation. Right? Well, he needed Abraham's cooperation. Well, verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So what was the promise? The promise was, you're a father right now. Which means there would have to be a manifestation of a child down the road. But he said, you need to believe that. Right now, God needed Abraham's cooperation. I don't know, you know, when he told him this, he was 99, so I don't know if it took from 75 to 99. You know, I don't want to just assume that about Abraham, but we do know that when he told him that, and eventually he got fully persuaded. He got fully persuaded that I am a dad. I am a dad. Praise God. I am a dad. Well, it's going to be the same with us. To receive what God has for us, we need to be fully persuaded of what he said. But see, the way God does it is he calls you something before it shows up in the natural. So you got it now to help you understand that. See, when God calls those things which be not as though they are, when he calls Abraham a father, because our natural mind will say, well, that's kind of fooling a little bit. That's really not true. He wasn't. God lives in all realms of time. So to God, because not only does he live in the present when there's no baby, God lives just as much in the future where there is a baby.
Amen.
He'd already talked with Isaac in prayer. In the present, he wasn't born, but God already had been to the future. God already had talked to Isaac. God already had seen Isaac's children being born. God already saw Isaac as going through life and doing it. So when God calls those things which be not, it might not be in the present that way, but it is in reality, in the reality God lives in, it's already done. He already sees that it's come to pass because he doesn't have to jump from the present to the future. He's already there. And again, our mind will short circuit on those things, but that's just who God is. He's the beginning and the end. He's the middle. He's the beginning, the middle, and the end. He's always everywhere at all times. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And so for us to get on that same wavelength, because he says he calls things which be not as though they are, Abraham had to believe that. Well, the word is the same way. It calls us some things that be not, but we got to get over the be not and get into the calling and believing the calling. Praise God. That's where we need to jump over. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, if you get on God's wavelength, then you can believe the word over what is currently going on. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We've said this before, but it's worth repeating, that to be somebody that receives the fullness of what God has, you have to have x-ray vision. This verse is x-ray vision. He's saying you don't walk by what you see. You're not governed by what you see. You're not moved by what you see. What is what you see? The present.
Yes. Amen.
He said, we're moved, or we walk. Walking's a movement.
Sure.
We're moved by what we believe. Well, what is we believe? What is what we believe? The future realm.
Yeah, that's good.
We're more governed by the realm of the future, by what God calls us, than what the present says about us. And if you can't be more governed by the future than what the present is, you won't walk into the things in the future. You'll be kept from them, because it's called doubt and unbelief. Jesus told Thomas, he said, "You're blessed are those that believe and don't see it." Why? That's faith. Faith is how we receive the promises of God. Amen? Faith is how we receive the promises of God. We have to believe it now. Hallelujah. Go back to Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 19. Well, what is the promise? The promise is the word.
Amen.
The promise is the word on the page. The promise is the word in your heart. But we see that when the word is given, the natural may have nothing to do with what the manifestation of what that word will bring. There might be nothing pointing to it, is what I'm trying to say. The word might come, but yet there's nothing in the natural that would say, oh, I could see that happening. You got to get past that.
Yeah, amen.
You got to get past that, and you got to be able to cling to the word of God. He said in Romans 4, verse 19, he said, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." Well, if he didn't consider that, what did he consider? The only thing there would be to consider would be the word. You see, what the word is like a life preserver when you're in the midst of a stormy sea and drowning, and you can't stay above the waves, and the storm is so bad it's pulling you under, and the life preserver gets thrown in the midst of those circumstances in chaos and different things that are going on, and situations, and the word comes in, and you grab onto that word, and it gets you through that storm. Well, his body, the natural, there was nothing that pointed to him being able to have a child. And he had to get over that and into God's realm, which was the future realm, and believing the word more than what the natural had to offer. Amen? And you're going to have to get past what the natural circumstances are saying, and the finances and the checkbook and your mind and your emotions and your body and the doctor's report, and believe what the word says and cling to that more and hang on that. Stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but hold on to that thing with for dear life and believe it. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to see what God sees. You're going to have to see past the poverty that is so real that you can see in your checkbook, that you can see in your bills, that you can see in your job, and you got to see yourself walking in a land of prosperity. Amen. Abraham had to see himself as a dad right now. Go to Mark 11:24. You'll see this goes along with the prayer of faith. Basically, what I'm saying is you have to believe what the Word says about you more than what your circumstances say about you. Amen. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Well, that space and time of when you pray represents the place and time of being in the need. Now, don't misunderstand me. We pray for other things besides needs. But he's saying praying for something that we would need or that we're going to receive. So, yeah, we go to him in worship and prayer, praise, and we're not trying to receive anything, or we're praying for other people. I get it, but this context is talking about receiving something. Well, why do we need to receive something? Because we don't have it. So the when you pray for health means you're in a position of being sick. Or when you pray for finances, you're in a position of needing money. But he says, when you pray, I want you to believe you receive it. Amen. Amen. That's really the whole problem with that whole verse that people struggle with. Not when you see it, believe it, but when you pray. Well, the only way you're going to be able to believe it, that you receive it, is to get on God's wavelength and to see what the Word. See, all the Word is a time machine into your future. Oh, this is what my future looks like if I'll believe it. And zoop, you hop in the time machine, the spiritual time machine, and it takes you to it. Well, Abraham finally got fully persuaded that he was a dad, and zoop, it zipped him over into being a dad. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I've told this testimony a lot, and I don't know how much of it I'll get into, but it's important that you understand that when I go into stories and testimonies, I have plenty of stories and testimonies, but I follow the Holy Spirit, but it's important to recognize that it's not just story time. You listen to Brother Hagin preach, the best and the most that people would receive would be when he get into story time. Because in the stories is where God deals with different things. And remember this, that if God did it for one, he'll do it for all. Amen. And the principles that I used, you can use too and receive it. But I think about, you can put this in anything, but I think about the house we're living in. And when I got the word of the Lord that home was ours, everything in the natural pointed to, no, it's not yours. And in fact, you know, we looked for 26 months in this area, just figured, well, wherever I pastor, I need to live. But you know what's interesting about that is we hardly have anybody that comes to this church from South Dayton. Now, that's going to change. But everybody's from all different places, so I guess I can't just pick one place to live because everyone else lives there, and they're going to think if I pick Forestville that I like the Forestville people better. I'm telling you, that's how people's minds work, you know. But anyway, so we looked for 26 months. We looked at some nice houses and nothing sat good. Well, then the Spirit of God prompted me to look into the house that we're living in. Well, when I pulled in there with Pastor Tim in the driveway, saw the sign on there and looked at the house, you know. Man, like, that's nice, you know. And I just started to sense that my time in that area, the Lakewood, Jamestown area, was not up yet. And so I didn't even consider to look in 26 months around there. And so I saw God. I said, yeah, it seems good to make an appointment for this. Well, what I did was, if the Spirit of God says make an appointment, you just make an appointment. I don't need to get online and check the price. Now, it'd be good to get online and look at pictures and stuff, but I didn't get online to look at pictures. I got online to find out the price. Well, when I saw the price, I said, I think I'll keep looking. But the Spirit of God said something different, amen?
Amen.
Spirit of God said, no, make the appointment, so I did. Well, when I made the appointment for that home, and I walked through the front door, I've told it many times, it dropped in my spirit, this is your house. This is your house. Well, that baffled my mind because of the asking price. The asking price was more than what we got approved for. Now, she was the breadwinner. She had a good job, early care and education director at the YWCA in Jamestown for almost 8 years. That's what her degree was in. Had a good job, was making way more money than I was. This was early on in the church, and we're just over in the storefront. Let me tell you what, when you start in a country church in South Dayton, yeah, you're not making a Joel Osteen salary. I don't know what he's making, but I bet it's good. Good for him. Praise God. Hey, anyways. And so anyways, she left her job. See, we started looking for that house around June. She left her job around May. Well, that put us back in a place where we didn't have enough money to pay our bills again, but God told us to do it. So we did it, and so it put us back not in the same place it did when we started. We weren't $2,000 short, but we were short again. And so when I saw the price of the house, it was more than what we were approved for by the bank when we had two incomes and she had more money. Now we have less income and we just only have mine from the church, you know. But God said to do it. Well, I had to get past the natural telling me I couldn't and get into seeing in the future, seeing myself in that place. Praise God. So many people are limited, and you know, I'm gonna be completely honest. I'm not trying to be hurtful or condescending to people. This is just the truth. Most people will never walk into, now I don't even know if I said this last night or in this order, but it's on my heart to say it, and so the Holy Spirit's trying to get this out here. Most people will never walk into the fullness of what the Father has prepared for them because they don't have the gusto or the faith or the belief to even dare to even think in a bigger direction. It's just true because everybody, forgive me for saying it, but most people, they're bound by their salary. They're bound by what's in their bank account. They're bound by what the job market's saying, or they're bound by what the price of that house is. Listen, if I would have went by what I was making, I'd have never gone forward with that house that I'm living in now. If I would have gone by the asking price of the house, I would have never, ever taken the steps forward to get into the place that I'm living in now. And most people, I'm just telling you, most people will not step out and believe God big and hear from the Holy Ghost and actually, see, the asking price of that house was so crazy to my mind. And by the way, the amount that they approved us for from the bank, just to give you an idea, the asking price of the home, the amount that they approved us for when we were working was so much higher than I would ever even consider looking because I knew that the mortgage payments on that, you know, you don't want to be house poor. You know what I mean by house poor? You have a great home, but that's all you have money for is your home, right? You don't want to be house poor. Well, the amount that the bank approved us for, if we would have got a house for that amount, would have made us house poor. So now the Spirit of God's telling me that there's a house that's more than what the bank approved me for, and we have not even just half our income, way less than half our income because her income's gone, and I'm just on a church was only 20, 30 people at the time, and I'm on that income. And the Spirit of God's saying, this house is yours. Well, I have a choice now. Abraham had a choice. I'd like to have a son, but do I have the faith to believe God's word? See, and because of going through the process, and, you know, I told the story that I'm not going to get into the whole thing. I don't feel released to get into the whole thing tonight. But one thing I do feel the release to get into about, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much more that God wants for you.
Amen.
But if you can't see it and believe it, he can't get it to you.
Yeah.
You'll go without. You will. You'll go without.
Sure.
Because how do I know? I'm in that house, never missed a payment on it once. In fact, I've just kept prospering. When we obeyed God, more and more just kept coming. I truly believe that if I wouldn't have gone for the house, I'd have been in direct disobedience. Well, here, my point is, I got into more, but we almost didn't get into more because during the same time that we were going to get into more with this house, and the fear came and the anxiety came, another house opened up on the outskirts of Jamestown on a cul-de-sac. And see, this was at the time we were getting ready to start having a bigger family with Abby and stuff. And we needed a bigger place. Well, this was on in a cul-de-sac in Jamestown on the outskirts. And we wanted to be out of Jamestown in the country. Well, in our backyard of this other home would have been a humongous, like 100-acre field with woods. And it would have been pretty much living in the country. But the house was super cheap. Because the owner had gotten a job in Pittsburgh and couldn't afford two mortgages, so he had drastically slashed the price of this home, and it was a smoking deal for this place. I mean, it was like triple, quadruple the size of our existing house, had everything that we wanted in it, and the price was more than less than half of what the other house that God said is ours. And I'll tell you what, I was extremely tempted to take that house because we could afford it and it would ease the tension and the pressure and the stress that was trying to creep up into me with the other home. See, if you can't be comfortable, see, God said this, he said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You have to learn to be able to enjoy life and reaching and striving for things in faith with pressure all around you. You don't have to love the pressure, but you have to be able to thrive in the pressure. Because that's the way it is. If you're going to increase, the devil's going to be there pushing you back the whole time. Well, my mind was eased by those things, but I remember driving to this church. And at the same time as my personal home was about to be increased, we were about to move out of the storefront into the old building. And it was the same thing. The church's finances said, no, you can't. But God said, yes, that's your building. Now look what's happened. Praise God. But at the time, there wasn't the money to do that building. The down payment, the asking price, just different things was not kosher with what the church had at the time. So there again is the same thing. We could stay in the storefront. We could have multiple services. We could try to find something cheap or whatever. But God said that's our place. So I remember at that time there was all these thoughts of not making it and money and all this stuff. And I was driving here and I heard a message by Pastor Nancy. And she said, I'll tell you, that's why it's important to have a feeder. Because your feeder can speak something to you and just change everything. Well, she's one of my feeders, you know. My main feeder is my pastor, but then her and Brother Hagin. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that's just 99.9% of what your pastor listens to. That's it. Brother Hagin, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Michael. Why? It's all I need. I don't need to be sampling and going to different buffets and different. Nope. I know. I mean, all I'll ever need has been said through the mouth of Brother Hagin, Pastor Nancy, and Pastor Michael. Now, don't get me wrong. When these gifts come into our midst, and there are other things. I'll listen to a message by Dr. Summerall or John Osteen and things, but I'm talking about my main feeding. That's like when Pastor Webb comes in, that's a visitation for us during that season, but that's not my main feeder. I won't listen to him nonstop. Why? I know my lane, right? I stay in my lane. But anyways, you have to follow your own heart, walk your own salvation. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, that's the only things I really listen to is my pastor, Pastor Nancy. But anyways, and Brother Hagin. And so she was speaking, and she said, I'm driving, and as I'm driving, the weight of the price of that home, and because it was over the weekend, because a decision had to be made about the home or whatever, and the weight of that and the weight of the church was just bearing down on me. Financial pressure, if you'll let it, can just drive you crazy. If you'll let it. If you'll get into the realm of worry and fear about it, if you'll stay in the Word, it won't get to you. But financial pressure will mess with you. And she said this, she said, God will lead you, because one of the things that was coming up in my mind was, you're crazy to try to get into this home. You are exceeding your measure of faith. Because there is such a thing to measure of faith. You got to know your measure of faith. But evidently, I had the measure of faith for it, or God would have told me I could have it. See, God's never going to lead you into something wrong. So if God says I can have it, then I might not think I have the measure of faith, but I got that measure of faith, right? And that's why it's always important to get a word on it. And so I'm driving, and she says this. She said, pastors, she said, God will lead you to do things in your personal life to stretch your faith so that you can bring that same faith to your church. As soon as she said, I started crying, because this was huge to me. You know, I knew that was my word from heaven. I said, that calmed me, and I said, okay, now I know, Father, why. Not only do you want me to be in that house to bless me, and that house has blessed me, you want me to use my faith to get in there so I can bring my faith for this place. But it wasn't just for this place. It was for this place. Amen. Hallelujah. And so with that being said, you know, I had, you know, when God tells you something, I'll get back to my point, and this seems to be the direction we're going tonight, is that there's more for you. And there's even more, not just a personal word to you, but the Word says you can have someone. The Word says you can be completely healed of everything. And some people have trouble receiving that and believing for that, and they're happy, well, if just I could just get this taken care of, I could live with this. Reach for more. The Word says you can be, now listen to what the Word says about your prosperity in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says that you can have all your needs met, but enough left over, now notice this, to sow into every. Say every. Every good work. That means God says, my plan for you is that all your stuff's taken care of. Now see, don't get religious minded about your stuff. You think, okay, fine, just enough clothes on my body, just a hunk of junk car with some wheels to get me from. No, we have to look in context of the Word that God wants your joyful. Well, joyful would include vacations, would include recreation money, would include not just standard basic needs, but joyful, abundant provision, supply, praise God. Right? And so the Word says that you can have enough for what you need, but enough left over to sow into every good work. That means he says, I want you so prosperous that any time a good work comes across your path, you got money to give to it.
Praise God.
Yeah, but most people just are just hoping to just pay their bills, right? Why? Because to reach for any more brings about pressure. And I know it because when he told me that, this is your home, there was nothing in the natural that said I could have it, but I needed to believe what. See, I needed to see myself. See, God already saw me swimming with my kids in the backyard of a pool that wasn't even there yet. God already saw it. He already saw it. He already saw Caleb enjoying that driveway and being able to ride his bike up and down the little hill, and me being in the back of the woods. And, you know, I've already killed deer and turkey, and it's something about killing on your own property. It's special. I've already killed animals on. He already saw that. Well, I had to see myself doing it. Right? I had to see, because all I could see was, how in the world are we going to pay for this? We can't pay for this. But I told you, you know, see, when people, you got to be able to reach for more. Let me tell you what reaching for more looks like. We were walking the property, and the Holy Ghost gave me those three steps. Remember what he said to me? He said, number one, when you get back and the realtor asks you about this house, you tell him, we'll take it. The money's in the bank. That's what the Holy Ghost said. Well, I'll tell you what. That takes walking out on the limb even farther. See, you got to get so far out on the limb that it's still wobbling. Where God's the only thing, right? But people are so afraid to get out there. They would rather, instead of, again, you got to get a word on these things, but they would, instead of believing God for something greater, for God to move them into, they would rather stay in their comfort zone of their little budget. Again, budgets aren't wrong, don't get me wrong. But budgets are wrong when the Holy Ghost is trying to shatter that budget It's the same way when people have a budget, you know, and they budget a certain amount for giving every month. That's great. You should do that. But when the Holy Ghost says, scratch the budget, that money you're going to put in a savings, give that to the building fund. Amen. Give that to so-and-so. You got to be able to say, I believe you, Lord, over what the budget is saying. Well, it's the same thing. God will lead you into more in your life to believe for more. But are you willing to walk out on that branch of the word so much where you're wobbling up and down and everything looks chaotic? Well, I was. And I'll tell you, and I'm here to tell you, if I didn't do my part, we're not in that home today. If I don't go back and say to him, we'll take the house, the money's in the bank, tell the woman we don't need to move out, she can pick out, or we don't need to sell our house first, you sell your house, whenever, or we can get it with both mortgages, which was absolutely not the truth in the natural, but that's what the Spirit of God said to do, so obviously he knew it'd work. And then he said, tell her that she can pick the closing date. And he said, tell her, even if it's 5 years from now, she wants to stay here for 5 years from the day we close, so be it. Well, that's stepping out. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I told the realtor that. He knew I was a minister. I told the realtor with that without having one penny secured for this. What am I trying to do? Oh, pat me on the back. No, I'm trying to show you what believing God looks like. I told him we will take the house. In fact, I had a meeting with the lady and told her we'll take the house before one penny was ever secured or said we'll give you any money. Believe in God. Well, I had to do that. I didn't know it at the time that I had to do that. I just knew I was following the Holy Ghost. Because you look back at it now and you see time frames. Had I not done that, we'd have not got the home, because when I sat down with her, and he said, I'm not telling her what you just told me. You're going to sit down and tell her. So he made an appointment. We went over there and sat down. I didn't tell her God told me the house was mine, but I just said we'd love to live here. And you know, we love the place. I didn't want to lead her on, you know, and, you know, try to make her feel guilty that she's disobeying God for not selling us the home. But I told her the same thing. Well, little did I know after that pitch, and the realtor didn't know this either, even though she was his client. That weekend, three offers came in that were exactly the asking price. And by the way, my asking price was tens of thousands of dollars less than what she asked. So now think about that. Tens of thousands of dollars less is what I asked. The realtor calls me back on a house that God said was mine, that I'm already picturing myself in, so then you get your hopes up and things like that. And he calls me back and says, we have a problem. Three people have offered her full price. One person said, we'll pay more than full price. It's not that the house is some immaculate mansion or anything like that, but it's in a great location. It's in Southwestern School District, which is one of the best school districts. It's in the country with 22 acres, but it's 5 minutes from Walmart and Wegmans and all. I mean, it's really quite a neat little setup, you know? And so it's a desirable place for people with families and stuff like that. And so people with families, they say, oh, we'll pay full price. So he said, I'm waiting to hear back from her on what she says. Well, I'll tell you what, who in their right mind would think, if you have someone willing to offer her more, I don't even know how much they're willing to offer, but why in the world would a woman take tens of, she doesn't know us. She doesn't have any, you know, warm feelings for us to want to sell us. We're not related or anything, even though both our last names were Anderson. Why would she accept an offer of tens of thousands of dollars less? And I'll tell you what, the temptation was, call her back, tell her, we'll do it. We'll do it for the full price. We'll do it. The Spirit of God said, no, I told you what to do. Well, he came back and said, you know, she rejected all four of those offers. He said, I have never seen this happen before, where somebody offered what you offered, and somebody offered what they were offering, and she said no to them. I said, well, what gives? I needed to know what was going on. He said, she needs the money, but the money that you offered her, see, she was waiting for her living space to be built. It was a project that was supposed to be done 2 years before, but wasn't done. And the reason it wasn't done, I'm convinced of it, is because we were not ready to move into that house yet. I believe that with all my heart. It was supposed to be done 2 years ago. She couldn't move out of her house or sell her house till she could get into her new place. Well, the new place is like a residential type place where, you know, it's not assisted living, but it will turn into assisted living if she ever needs it. You know, all the lawn and everything's taken care of and a nice place. But she had to wait. Well, she needed the money for her sale to buy the place that she was going into, but she also didn't need to get kicked out of her house and have nowhere to go. So money wasn't the hugest issue. Time was the hugest. Is hugest even a word? Tonight it is. And so why am I telling you this? I'm going to wrap this up here in a second and bring it back to the ending. When we told her we don't need to sell our house, well, the only reason she denied everybody else was because they all needed to sell their house. Did we need to sell our house too? Absolutely the natural, but I don't go by the natural. Amen. I got faith to go by. And God said, you don't need to sell your house first. So she said, that was huge. She said, the fact that you said it was going to be a cash deal, that's what I said. So the money's already in the bank. It's just going to change hands. And the fact that it was that, she said, no rigmarole with the banks and inspections and all these things. Just do it. And the fact that you told her she can move out whenever she wants. She's an older lady. She doesn't want to be kicked out of her home that she built in the 60s and with her husband and not have a place to go. She said, the fact that you offered her all that, she said, I'll take his offer. Praise God. Now the point, though, is that I had to get my mind past what, because even with the price she accepted, was way more than we could afford. But God said I could have it. If God said I could have it, guess what? Where God guides, he provides. Amen? The money might not be there yet, but I'm just stupid enough and daring enough to step out on the word when the money's nowhere to be found. I'm just stupid enough and bold enough to believe the money will follow me right behind me, and it always has. Praise God. But see, we like to do things backwards of how God likes to do it. We want the money to be there, then we'll act. That's not how he does things. He wants you to trust him. He wanted Moses to smack the water and get ready to lead people across before the thing was split. He said, do this. Moses had to believe, what in the world is smacking a stick on the water going to do? But I know you said to do it, Father, so bam, and the water then parts. The water didn't part till Moses did something first. And your waters won't part in your life till you do something first, but you're going to have to step and stand on the word of God more than you're going to have to believe what your natural's saying. Amen. You're going to have x-ray vision. Yes. Into the word, praise God. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. You know why people have self-esteem problems? They don't believe who the word says they are. It's the truth. They believe what people have beat them down with for years. They believe what the devil's been chattering in their ear for years. They don't believe what... Listen, do you think God's opinion matters more than man and the devil's? Yes. Do you think that God knows more about you and your potential than the devil and people do? So if God calls you wonderful, why is so-and-so's voice even matter? Why does the devil's voice even matter if God says, why does your checkbook, why is the checkbook's voice so loud when God says you have full supply? Amen. Right. Why does it matter? Why does the doctor's report and symptoms matter? I don't mean they don't bother you and they're no fun, but why do they let us get into fear, doubt, and worry when God says you're healed? Praise God. As people need to get more belief in the word. But 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, I want to show you how God, remember, how does God do things? He calls things which be not as though they are. Good word. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Where did that happen? It's important to know, on the cross, not in heaven, not on the earth. He was abundantly supplied on the earth, but on the cross. What else did he bear on the cross? He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, he who knew no sin became sin. So not only on the cross, he became sin, but he also became sickness, didn't he? Surely he has borne, Isaiah 53 verse 4, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Well, where did he bear our sickness and pains? Not on the earth. On the cross. So on the cross, he became something so that we could become something. He became sin so that we could become righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, you are righteous right now. There's nothing you can do to be more righteous. You might not feel that way, but that's the way you are. You're healed right now. You might not feel it, but that's what the word says. You're going to see this. You're rich right now. Hallelujah. He said, oh, you definitely missed that one. Let me show you my bills. Let me show you my bank statement. Well, you are, if you believe the word. Amen. See what happens, right? Abraham had to believe, I'm a dad now, for it to show up in the future. You got to believe you're rich now for it to show up in the future. You got to believe you're healed now for it to show up in the future. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So God is saying, your richness was acquired not when the bills got paid, not when all the money shows up. Your richness was purchased and you became that when he became something different so you could become something different. You became rich on the cross. You became healed on the cross. When did Abraham become a father of many nations? As soon as God said he was. See, there was no child. But see, God can say that because he's already seen it. He's in that realm, so because he's also present and future, he's already in the realm where Abraham, yeah, you're a dad, Abraham. Yeah. You're not there yet, but you are a dad. In the realm that I live in, Abraham, you're a dad. In the realm that God lives in with the word, he sees you abundantly supplied, all your needs met, prospering, healed and whole, every bit of dream and desire in your heart fulfilled. Why? He's already in that place. Now, whether or not you're going to join him there is up to you and your faith. But our richness was purchased. See, people are just waiting to say and believe. See, because when you believe you're rich, you talk different, you act different, and you think different. When you believe you're healed, the same way. Well, what does that mean? When you believe it now, then your works, which faith without works is dead, your works will line up with the manifestation. You'll smile more. You'll be more encouraged. You'll talk faith, right? You'll speak faith. You'll have expectation, right? But if you're waiting for the money to show up, you're doing it backwards. He said, you're rich on the cross. People are waiting for the money to show up. No, no, no. You got to look backwards to your richness, backwards to your healing. That's when you got healed. That's when you got rich. Remember, it says, by his stripes, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, you were healed. Yeah. That's when your healing was, because God says that's when it was purchased. That's when it was made available. That's when you can receive it. Praise God. It's like the story that came out of this verse that Pastor Nancy tells. And this is the way you need to see yourself. And we'll close with this. It's the gentleman that came up to the Jewish man and said, I need to know, how do you prosper? You know, because it's not just a stereotype that Jewish people are wealthy. It's the truth. And he said, how do you prosper? And the guy looked at him and said, I don't understand that question. He said, I want to know, you know. How is it that you're so prosperous? He said, I'm sorry, I don't really understand your question. And third time he asked him, how are you so prosperous? Well, finally, the light bulb went off. He said, oh, well, okay, I understand now. He said, you got it backwards. He said, you're trying to separate my prosperity from being a Jew. He said, I'm prosperous because I am a Jew. That's what he said to him. He said, because I'm a Jew, prosperity comes with it. Amen. And it's like the same thing, like you ask how Pastor Nancy was saying, like if someone asked her, how'd you become a woman? She's, I don't understand. That's just the way it is. I was born into it. Well, you were born into prosperity. You were born into healing. Praise God. See, we separate that from our inheritance. No, no, no. You're his. You're rich. You're rich right now. And your mind's going to say, that does not make sense, Pastor, because I don't have the money. But God's way of doing things is what he sees in the future, which the word is just a teleporter into your future. He sees what's in the future and says, that's what you are, because that's what you are there, and I'm in that both realms. Yes. Amen. Yeah, he called Abraham a dad, and Abraham had to say, got it, Father. Amen. I'm a dad right now. I'm a dad. I'm a dad. Yeah. See, some of you need to be saying, I'm a parent. Yeah. I'm a parent. I'm a husband. I'm a wife, praise God. Need to be saying those things, right? Praise God. I'm rich. I'm rich. That's how you do it. You hook up your talker to it. Amen? The Bible says Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What was he doing? Pacing the floor saying, thank you, Father, I'm a dad. Thank you, Father, I'm a dad. Praise the Lord, my son. I'm a dad. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Calling those things which be not as though they are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Yeah, Father, thank you, Jesus. Real quick, you can look up here. Let me to bury this point home for you, because it trips people up. 1993, the Bills beat the Houston Oilers in the greatest comeback ever, right? We talked about that game. I was there. And at halftime, the Bills were down 28-3, but the start of the third quarter, Frank Reich came out through an interception. It was 35-3 in the start of the third quarter. The Bills were losing. Now, God's the beginning and the end. So God knew the outcome of that football game that day. Would it have been wrong for God to say about, now that he knows he's been to the end, would it have been wrong for God to say about that game, the Bills are the winners of this game? At halftime, when they were down 28-3, 35-3, and the stadium is just emptying out, would it have been wrong for God to say, the Bills are the champs this day? No. Wasn't that what happened? Isn't that the truth? Well, just because it didn't manifest yet, but God had already been in the future, it would not have been wrong for God to say to the Bills at halftime, you're the victors on this day. They would look around and say, what do you mean I'm the victors? Because God's already in that realm. So when God calls Abraham a dad, it's not injustice to say that. He was a dad. So when God calls you rich and you're to hook up with that, you're not weird. Don't let your mind tell you that. It's the truth, because that's what the Word says. Just as much as God would have called them champions that day when it didn't look like it, the end result was they were. It's the same thing. God, you call yourself healed. Say, well, that's just making things up, and that's this hocus pocus type words. No, that's hooking up with the Father's vision, and you're hooking up with the Father, seeing things from His perspective. He already sees you rich. He already sees you healed. Start calling yourself that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and praise you tonight. We love you so much. You're wonderful. We glorify you. We praise you. Magnify you and love you, Jesus. We honor you and bless you. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We love you tonight. We praise your name. You're so wonderful. Start hooking up your words. Start calling it the way God sees it, instead of the way you can see it. Because remember, you're not even supposed to walk by what you see. So if you're not supposed to walk by what you see, you're certainly not supposed to talk by what you see. Father, we love you and praise you and bless you, magnify you and glorify you. You're so good to us. We honor you and magnify you. If anyone's listening by live stream, by chance, or in the future, you've never received Jesus as your Lord. Jesus is the way to heaven. Unless you receive Jesus, you say, well, how do you know that's true? Well, John 14:6 tells us that. John 3:16 tells us that. Romans 10:13 tells us that. So you have to go through Jesus. If you can say, I've never accepted Jesus, well, then you don't have a ticket punched to heaven. He's the only way. And so you say, how do I receive him? You just got to believe in him. Believe that he died and rose again. If you can say, I'm not saved, I've never received Jesus, well, just confess to him that you love him, you believe that he died and rose again, ask him into your heart. He'll come into your heart. Father, we love you tonight. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Everybody say this after me. Repeat after me. Say, I'm rich. Say, I'm not rich when the money comes. I'm rich right now. Everyone say, I'm healed. Say, I'm not going to be healed when the symptoms go away. I'm healed right now. Hallelujah. If you believed it, you'd be rejoicing for it. Praise God. Praise God. We bless you, Jesus. We magnify you. We honor you, Jesus. We so bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I can. I don't care if the devil says I can't, I can. Praise God. I can. Say, I'm more than enough. Hallelujah. Say, I can do it. Say, with his help, I can do it. Praise God. Say, I'm victorious. I'm not in the defeat category. Things might look bad, but I win. Praise God, I win. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you. We glorify you. Father, we have an important election coming up this year. Father, this country is divided. And Father, there are two distinctly different directions being presented to us as a nation. Father, and it's not my job to steer people in a direction. I believe if people have a lick of sense, they'll know who to vote for. If they have a lick of the Spirit of God, you know, because I'll just say this, and listen up. My job is not to push an agenda of Democrat, Republican. My job is to push the agenda of Christianity. Amen. Well, there are just certain things that people stand for that are in such violation of the Word of God that some of these things ought to be so obvious to people. It's just the truth. Put all personal feelings aside. Put all opinions aside. And you just look at some major, major issues that God doesn't stand for. And it should be clear enough anyways. But Lord, whatever. We have two distinct directions being presented to us in this country. And Father, we need your will to be done in this election. We release our faith as a corporate body that your will be done in the 2016 presidential election. Father, we thank you that whatever needs to be done will be done. Whatever needs to happen in this final month happens, Father. Whatever needs to be revealed, whatever needs to be said, Father, whatever mountains need to be moved, Father, we are believing that your will be done in this election. Father, we thank you. Satan, you take your hands off the election, off the process, and angels go forth and move and shift and bring and take away whatever needs to be moved, shifted, took away, and brought in. Angels get on the scene and work for us in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that your will. We want what you want, Father God. We want what you want, Father God. We don't want America to go down the tubes. America has been such a catalyst for the gospel, such a proponent for getting the word out, such a vehicle to bring the gospel, and I believe we're not done yet. So in the name of Jesus, Father, your will be done in this election. Now just for a few minutes, if you don't pray in tongues, if you want to get filled, you can come forward or lay hands on you. If you do pray in tongues, we're going to pray in tongues for the election. If you don't pray in tongues, just keep hooking your faith up in agreement. Hook your faith up in agreement that the will of God is done. Holy Ghost, our helper, give us utterance concerning the will of God for the election. Help us to pray. And the Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes power available. So as we pray in tongues together, we're making power available for God's will to be done in this election. So let's pray for a few minutes together and lift our voice concerning the election. Holy Ghost, help us.